since I showed her how to lay her lily hand in mine. Blue band Lil agree, she's a sight to see and a treasure for the poor to find. If I needed you, would you come to me? Would you come to me and ease my pain? If you needed me, I would come to you. I'd swim the seas for to ease your pain.
Beautiful, beautiful. As my old friend Ray Ferrugia would say, beautiful. Two tracks from Townes Van Zandt starting off this hour of music. You heard Nothing and Just There. If I Needed, here on Steel City Music, your host Gunnar here. In this hour of music, it's a chat with Jay Pohlman. Really nice guy. I also like to publicly apologize to him. I'm the one who screwed up on the times for the interview and email, because we did this chat and we talked about his new album, The Whole Nine Yards, and I put the music in, and it was, you know, it was a fun chat with him. But he sent me back an email saying, "Hey, Gunnar, so sorry, I mixed up the times. I thought you were calling on this day. It wasn't your fault. It was my fault. I screwed up my interviews. Totally, it was me, because I have so many different." You have to time out these interviews because people are releasing music on certain times and I can't air certain interviews. Anyway, it was my bad. I apologize. See, I'm a big man. I can apologize for my mistakes. Anyway, back to Jay. He's been a band called Groove. In this interview, we find out a change of life that's inspired by a suggestion by his wife, and which also kind of helps him kickstart getting back into doing writing and doing music, that sort of thing. So you hear a little bit of everything about the album and some of the struggles that he had starting out in regards to doing the online thing. I would say it's a struggle, but, you know, it's something that he's been experimenting with, much like every other artist that we know at this point. So, I had a really good chat with him, and I featured a lot of his music here in this hour. So, hope you guys enjoy it. Go to his website, jpohlman.com. That's J. Pohlman, two L's and two N's. And you can check out the music, the bio, more about him. All the other fun stuff and merch if you want to buy some of his past stuff and all the other fun things. And make sure you check him out if he does do an online show, okay? So here's the interview. Hey, folks, my next guest on Steel City Music is a gentleman who used to be in a band called Groove, who reached out to me on the old email and said, "Hey, Gunnar, I don't think if you were..." Well, no, that's not what you said, was it? I said, "I'm not sure if you remember me, but I used to play in a local band called Groove. And since then, I've had a couple of solo albums, blah, 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 blah." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I remember you. I used to spin you all the time." So, hey, Jay, thanks for taking the time.
How you doing, Gunnar?
I'm aside from, like, babbling and talking too much, I think I'm doing all right. And stumbling over my words.
That's what you do, right?
Oh, so you've read some of the reviews on my radio show. Perfect. Awesome. I read some reviews on your album. They're much better than my show.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, there you go. Hey, man, so this is your second solo album and with the same producer, in Aaron Goldstein.
Yeah, I went back with Goldie and asked him if he was interested, and he definitely was, and actually said he really liked the progression in my songwriting this time around. So I was excited to hear that. And it makes a, you know, a world of difference when there's a producer and the players that are really behind the songs and stuff. So right off the bat, it was feeling like it was going to be something good. So
how far does your relationship go back with Goldstein before the actual production of the first album?
Pretty far back in the Hamilton scene days. Year, I don't know what year, but back in like the Pepper Jack Cafe days, some of his previous work before Huron.
That you're talking, you know, almost 15, 16 years now.
Yeah, this goes way back, right? So Yeah, we shared the bill a few times with Huron and some of the other groups he played with. He played with a lot of them back in the day.
Yes, yes.
And really loved what he did with Huron. That record's, I think, one of the best Hamilton records, in my opinion,
right.
That has come out of Hamilton. So, yeah, well, it goes way back to then and kind of kept in touch in between. We saw each other here and there at festivals and whatnot. But right. Obviously what he did was really huge with his career after that as well. So the first time I reached out, mm-hmm. I was just kind of hoping to do a few songs on the first go around, and that went really well. And you know, we built a friendship and workmanship there and carried it on into this one.
Now that was from 2017, I believe, was the first one.
2017, yeah, which was recorded, I believe, 2016, but
in 2016. Yeah. So you said that he found a progression in your songwriter as a songwriter. How did that make you feel hearing something like that?
Well, it's all
like, I'm sorry. Also, did you notice it, or was this were you aware of this?
I did, and I think most writers, whether it's a shift in, you know, even in a different kind of style of or genre of writing, but I think especially when it's, you know, the core of songwriting, when it changes, you can feel that there's a bit of a shift in your, whether it's maturing or, you know, just becoming a better songwriter. It comes with time. So I felt it was happening. And it really did take a long, long time for me to kind of come around to, I mean, there's always room to get better, but to come around to feel like I can actually call myself songwriter now, I guess.
It's a type of validation. Is that what you think it is?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you can never accept who you are until you hear it from someone else in praise. Have you always been like that with praise when it comes to music or anything?
So.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. I'm a pretty humble guy, so.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like have the drive and passion to keep writing more and to keep, you know, when we could perform, there was, you know, even after terrible shows, there was always the good one was coming soon, right? So you keep doing it.
It's a hard thing to say, even harder coming out of your mouth. I'm working for a living and I'm living to work. Settle for this and you don't gonna settle for that. It's the days of chain and a shame of that. To the field, to the plow, to the frogs coming out through the ground. Take me out on your town. North versus south, still a hard thing to say, even hard a second time around. In the wood, down on the forest floor, keep on waiting, but there's no one knocking at your door.
These two albums, I mean, there's quite a length of time. I would assume there's like you're living your life and there's like maybe some traveling and maybe even honing your craft as far as the songwriting goes.
Yeah, that's pretty much what this behind this whole entire record and all 10 songs. After the last one, it's hard to build momentum with especially independent releases. So I was able to, after the last record release party, did that in Hamilton at the Baltimore House. Remember the Baltimore House?
I remember the Baltimore House, yeah, on King.
I love that
yeah.
place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a fantastic release show there. We packed the place, and it was just one of the best shows, you know, it's just everything clicked, I guess you could say, which Aaron played with me that night, and my brother and Derek Downham on drums. So
yeah,
kind of a couple of heavy hitters in there. That was a fun show. So after that, trying to carry on the momentum, but at the same time, yeah, you know, music doesn't pay all the bills. So I took a new job in a factory out this way, mm-hmm. a drywall factory. So it was shift work, 12 hours, and I got a family at home. And it just, it was hard to book shows, travel to shows, because I couldn't adjust my schedule. And I was too new to take weeks off at a time and all that kind of stuff. And
right.
I was, you know, is this it? So my writing started, I think, after kind of not being very musical for a bit. It took a bit of a change then already. And then it was actually my wife that said, you know, we weren't happy with where we were. We need to make a change. So she suggested quitting the job and selling our home and all of our stuff and taking off to travel with the kids for a bit.
Ah.
I was like, we can't do that. Are you crazy? And I thought about it a bit and I was like, you are crazy, but we could actually pull this off possibly. So that's what we did.
That's really funny because with me, I always think in my line of thinking, it's always like my wife or whoever your significant other is in life is the one that's the one that turns you and goes, that's a really dumb idea.
Yeah.
You know, like usually I'm the one who comes up with something stupid, and my wife just says, "We're not doing that. You don't be an idiot." And you go, "Oh, okay, right." But I mean, but on her end, it's like she saw that a change would be good for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's when part of my growth with music began. You know, another step in the growth of music was when I didn't play it so safe anymore, and I think that mm-hmm. came through in that, you know, maybe being a little bit more transparent. At live shows, even I try to become a bit more of a storyteller and make it, you know, a nightly experience rather than just slinging through some songs and stuff. I like to kind of leave a little bit more out there, which some of the artists I follow really do that live, and it gets me. So I want to try to do the same thing.
This transition in your life sparked by your wife, this suggestion, what were any of the songs on this album that's out right now came from that?
I think the track that let out the record, the 10th track, wouldn't have it any other way. That's more or less a love song to her.
Mm-hmm.
The closest thing I'll probably write to a love song. So
right.
I think that kind of I had a kick around that time, and I was feeling it out at some shows, and that one definitely comes from that period of time.
This blues enough for you, should I play a cover too? Waiting all night just to see you smile. Gotta make it right, I can't wait another night. Keep this up, I'll be pushing you away. And it is what it is, and I am.
there's 10 tracks on this album, and the some artists will each song is like an individual song, but others will, there's a theme that'll run through the whole album, and they have to be in a certain order to tell the story. Could that be said about this album? One Day Older, None the Wiser?
I considered that when I was doing the final track listing, what it was going to be, because it could have kind of followed a chronological order, but I didn't like the flow of the songs, and you know, the top couple songs are important on albums these days, especially, you know, when you get about 30 seconds a song with some listeners. Sure. You really got to catch them off the battery, not getting them through the rest of the album.
Yeah,
there's a reason I still like to make full albums, because you know it's a whole collection of songs for a reason. I'm not, you know, if there was filler, then we would have just did an EP or something like right. that. So, but it's a single age. So yeah, you really got to catch them off the top. So it's not all the way through like a story throughout, but all the songs have, you know, a similar theme, a travel, Canadian travel, feel to it. And, with the purpose of kind of giving up a lot of things to achieve certain goals.
Yeah. I'm blasted once again. Can I make up another friend? That sounds like a loaded question. I've been crying all day long, like a Tom Petty song. Yeah, so don't you do me like that. Now I'm not the confrontational kind.
This, when you, after you left Groove, because I was thinking about this, your style is this, Eve even says, and I've seen in a couple quotes, foot stomping. Were you the type of like a performer as a solo artist and then went into a band, or did you just develop that style after leaving the band?
I developed that style after the band. I guess where it did come from is I started to play some cover shows, you know, three sets a night of cover songs.
Sure.
To make a bit of money, and it was fun at times. And I would be, you know, a few certain bars around, not music venues. I mean, like just like pubs and bars where they stick you in the corner under the TV or the Leaf game or something, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're playing, some of the songs go over, but for the most part, it's like, what am I even doing here? Like, so I started stomping my feet on the ground, and I brought a tambourine on it. You know, I screwed it onto a board, and I was stomping on that just to get a bit of, you know, attention and some intensity and something fun to watch, I guess. And I, from there, I think I developed that kind of bluesy stomping sound, which, you know, I still carry through today. And when I do play solo, I'll bring a kick drum along with myself, and usually stomping and the leg's pretty sore the next day. So yeah, I still do that.
It's like an attention grabber right away.
Yeah.
Whenever you see someone doing the big stomp, it demands the attention, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Stop and look.
well, yeah, because it especially what you just said, like, I mean, there are some shows that you're doing where there's people talking, you know, they're ordering beer and chicken wings or something. And as you said, there's like a Leaf game. So you're competing with the Leaf game. Hopefully you're going on after the Leaf game. But that's not always the case. Too. Yeah. You know, there have been those shows where you're sitting there going, oh God, they're cheering. Are they cheering for the song or did someone score?
Yeah. I've been playing when that has happened. And that was one of the kickers. I'm like, I got to stop playing other people's music and just play my own.
Right.
Like that was a few moments like that. Or at times playing the next to nobody and playing somebody else's song. That just didn't make sense to me anymore. So not for what I was trying to achieve, put it that way, I guess.
Your roots can be awakened. Your roots can become spun. Your time can't be mistaken. That time can't be undone. With the wind blowing all direction on a proud highway of second thoughts. Well, there's smoke, there's bound to be fire. I'll take in all that I have got. So hold on, makes poison. this hard sail keeps on pushing, this sail will push on through. I've always wished I'd found out sooner what you had already knew. So hold on, hold on tight, and rest our bones another night. So hold on, hold on tight, and rest our
night. Such a strange transition, Jay, from that style of performing to having all of those things kind of taken away from all of us this year. In the beginning of 2020, going into 2021, music has just stopped as a whole. All society, to a certain extent, has stopped. But for the musician, there is no gainful employment. There are no audiences. And a lot of them have made the switch over to streaming. Have you done that yet?
Yes, I've done some streaming. I held out for a while. I held out probably for a good 5 months or 6 months, and I had a couple of cool opportunities come. Mm-hmm. One was at the Mule Spinner in town.
Great venue.
Another one was a great organization, Music Ontario, I believe it was, that got behind artists and helped promote it. That was really great too. So I jumped on those couple, and I think I've done a few more. I did one out of my traveling rig here in the driveway, which is a lot of fun. But I wanted to do one for this album release too, and I wanted to bring in a whole band and a whole production team. But there's just so much involved cost wise and even with things being able to do some live stream stuff and not others, it was a huge risk to take, and I just couldn't do it at this time. So I kind of held off for a live stream release this go around, but there'll likely be more, I guess.
Have you, now that this one's out, this album, what's next for you? Have you begun writing for your next album?
Yeah, I have. I have a few songs kicking around already, and always trying to play and write. It's a total different landscape from what it was. I kind of was just happy to scrape through this release, as it was a totally 100% online release, and I was gauging my success off of, online sales, which were great. I can't complain about that. There was a lot of support around that, but you really gauge your success off, if you're getting any reviews and airplay and likes and shares and things like that, that's kind of a scary thing to gauge success off a record, off of Facebook likes or something, but it's kind of the truth in a way.
What's next for you as far as promotion wise goes for One Day Older, None the Wiser?
Promotion wise, hopefully would love to do a live stream at some point and, give the songs their time to shine a bit and tell the stories behind them. I had a show lined up locally at a brewery out in Norfolk County here in December. And then we decided that wasn't a good idea. And then it was like, okay, let's, tentatively do one in March, and no, can't do that yet. So everything keeps getting pushed back. In the meantime, I have a few more music videos I'll be putting out just to, like I said before, kind of maintain a bit of, flow. And now that, the momentum that was built up to try to keep that wave riding a little bit before, I'll need some new material and some new things again. Hey, this is Jay Pullman. You can check out my music on my website, www.jaypullman.com. That's two L's and two N's.
Said the money's tight to fill the tank, but I need the fuel to get me to the bank. Gonna take out all my money and stash it in a sack. Gonna dig a hole and bury it out the back. Sorry about your love. Sorry.
fingerprints on the windows, floaters in the eyes, blocks all my vision when I look into the sky. They were nailed up, none the wiser. The lesson that was learned, this world keeps on spinning faster and faster. I shall not steal or beg or feel. Not roll and lose control. Fall again, but gain it right back. Tell the difference between all that. Upon that window, sunlight in your eyes. There's a journal on the bedside table, staring me in the eye. Those words come slowly, come in good time. The feeling coming over me tells me I'm doing something right. Shall not steal or beg or feel. Shall not roll and lose control. Fall again, but gain it right back. Tell the difference between all.
You're listening to CIOI, The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
You're listening to a Steel City Music Retro Hour.
Hi, this is Gunnar, and welcome back to the 3 for 30 here on Steel City Music, a show dedicated to three songs with three specific memories and with not three hosts or three guests, but only one guest on each episode. This week's guest is Karim Mosna. He's a host of Jazz in Session, heard on The Hawk Wednesdays from 10 a.m. till noon, and also a graduate of the radio broadcasting program and broadcast journalism as
That's
well here
right.
at
yes.
College. You're a double threat.
That's right.
What's your triple threat? You can go back to school, have one more.
I think I need one.
One more?
Yeah.
TV? Just be all straight up, all media?
That could work. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's TV here? 3 years?
Yes.
Oh, God, your parents will kill you, man.
I know.
Okay, so you know how this segment works for Steel City Music. Three songs with three specific memories. And what are your, who are the artists and what are the songs?
Okay, so we've got Hurricane by Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Watching the Wheels by John Lennon. And A Blossom Fell from Nat King Cole.
All right, and who are we starting with?
I think we just kick right in with Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan. All right, so the song Hurricane, what's the story and what's the memory behind that song for you?
I recall hearing it for the first time at 11 years old.
Oh, so you're 11 years of age. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And I believe it was my uncle gave me a Bob Dylan CD.
11-year-old gets a Bob Dylan CD from the uncle.
That's right.
That's kind of painful.
Really?
Well, yeah, kind of, because it's like most 11-year-old boys will get like some, like either a video game or a baseball bat or, I don't know, some kind of sporting thing or, you know, and then your uncle goes, is a Bob Dylan CD.
Well, I think he knew, based at that age already, he knew that music was something that I wanted to know more about.
Right.
I had a lot of curiosity for. I mean, I grew up with jazz, but I also heard, you know, other music as well, and I think he wanted to introduce this to
so
me.
So were you just like a jazz kid, like at the early ages, like your parents played you jazz all the time, right?
I remember a combination of, yeah, classic jazz, the Beatles, and Raffi.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So, and you getting hit with a Bob Dylan CD, that must have blown your mind because it's totally different from all of that stuff.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
And this song in particular, it's an eye-opener of a song.
In what way for you?
I mean, it's a novel. In a song, talking, of course, about the wrongful conviction of the boxer, Reuben Hurricane Carter. And the way that he, the lines that he chooses to tell this story and the way that he brings it out there. I mean, I've written a few lines down here. The trial was a pig circus. He didn't stand a chance. All the criminals in their coats and their ties are free to drink martinis and watch the sunrise while Reuben sits like Buddha in a 10-foot cell.
Pretty heavy stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how did you feel about your uncle afterwards giving you this song, this CD? Actually, sorry.
Well, I think it spurred appreciation. I think not only for this song or for Bob Dylan, but I think also for the era as well.
Mm-hmm.
When I started to learn more about the music of that era, which really spoke about, social activism. Of course, a little bit earlier before this, you had, of course, the Vietnam music and all that. So I think just to kind of be turned on to that was huge.
Right.
I also soon after saw the film, Hurricane.
Right.
And then once you've seen the film and you know the story from that perspective, then to also combine it with the song, you just appreciate the genius of it that much more.
And you must appreciate your uncle for giving you the CD.
Yeah.
Why don't we listen to the song right now? Here's Bob Dylan, Hurricane, on the 3 for 30.